Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 501st edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today. And don't forget to enter our Super Bowl 58 props contest. Pick 58 Super Bowl props for a chance to win $1,000. Enter today for free at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/SB58 or in the SGPN app.
Hi-yo, DeGenerinos, welcome to episode 501 of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network as we race towards episode 1,000. By my math, it's going to be about 2 years and a bit till we get there, so we'll see if we survive that long. Let's dedicate this to someone. This is going out to Sniper5787, one of our friends in the Discord who I have not given a, I don't think I've given a episode dedication to Sniper yet. I want to say he, because more than likely it's a he. And the Discord is, it's a sausage party, so it's all he. So this goes out to Sniper, who is talking about LFA. So obviously one of the sickos that likes talking about regional MMA with us. This episode is not a regional MMA episode, though. The UFC is back, and with this being a big sports weekend, they thought they'd put their best foot forward and do a super fight card from the UFC Apex on Saturday afternoon with, believe it or not, middleweights in the main event. Go figure, right?
I love middleweights. I'm gonna cut it.
I did some research, you can call it. Really, I just went through Apex main events to see how many middleweights were. It wasn't just a proportionate amount. There's about seven in the past year and a bit have headlined, so yeah, that's too many. Since December 2022, I think, is when I stopped counting. So yeah, too many middleweights, but anyhow. But you know what's even better? We're not even talking about the main event on this episode. No, we're such sickos. We're going to talk about all the prelim fights first. There's actually at least one prelim fight I'm looking forward to. At least two I'm looking forward to. So we're going to get all that in your ear holes. And like I've said millions of times to try to keep all you listeners here, it doesn't matter the quality of the fight card. We're going to make money on it. Regardless, and Gumby and I do need a big week coming through here, or our credibility is going to be shot. I said Gumby, and he has spoken already, but I'm going to give him a formal introduction because he insists on it. He tells me off air that I have to give him a, it's almost like he's royalty. I have to give him a proper introduction. So,
no chance.
And he told me today to introduce him as Dan Gumby Vreeland. And he asked me to ask him, Gumby, are you ready to get sticky with it?
I didn't ask him to ask that. And if you come in,
not sticky with it, just sticky. That sounds better.
Yeah, I just want to get sticky. It's what somebody asked me in the Discord one time. And I please ask that you never
multiple
do that
times. Wasn't just one time. That's yeah, the thing about it. It was multiple times.
It was a couple of different bot accounts popped in and asked if we wanted to get sticky. And I have been trying to figure out what their definition of sticky is. I don't want to know.
Making money, apparently.
Yeah, it wasn't about
in a shady way.
Yeah, it wasn't about like like the way little kids have sticky hands all the time or anything like that. They hadn't had a lollipop recently. It was something about money. Maybe I'm just not down with the kids slang these days.
Maybe.
I can't imagine you're any better at it.
No, I'm the old half of these podcasts. if as you can probably tell if you're watching on YouTube, the older, hairier, balding, currently overweight half of the duo. But my kid, I guess my kids still get sticky hands. I was going to say my kids don't get sticky hands, but yeah, I guess they still do. I'm sure your kids do. You're right in the
definitely in the sticky hand zone. Yeah,
sticky
yeah.
hands, constant illnesses from school age group is where gum is in right now.
Big pink eye like, age. Yeah.
lice. Do you get letters about lice all the time?
No.
You guys don't have lice in your part, neck of the woods?
No.
Ticks.
No.
You probably have lots
of ticks. We get a lot of hand, foot, and mouth, which is not fun. Yeah, that's a gross one. And then pink eye. Yeah, those are the two big ones.
It's because you're a bunch of farmers, right? Is that why? That seems like a farmer disease.
I'm not a farmer, but that does sound like something livestock would get, perhaps.
Yes, it does. It does. We are getting sticky this episode, aren't we?
We have so many fights to get to.
I know. Before we get to it, though, I saw a very good headline today from Ilya Topuria. He says he's going to dominate Alexander Volkanovski at their fight. So that's a pretty good plan going into a fight, don't you think?
My favorite part of that too was he's like, I plan on dominating Alexander Volkanovski and then not offering him a rematch, as if that's any of your choice, dude. Like,
yeah,
you're fighting for the title, and you've already decided that you'll never fight him again. Yeah.
And yeah, he had a whole list of people he's not going to fight when he becomes champ. So yeah, he's putting the cart ahead of the horse. You probably know that expression, right?
Country folk. I do. Yeah.
You have carts and horses there. Our friend Double Nichols messaged me saying how he's surprised how low Volkanovski's number is. I'm like, yeah, there's some value there. We'll talk about it next week more.
Yeah. The money keeps coming in on Topuria, apparently. And also, I would say, did you see the quote? I think it was MMA Junkie. I don't want to ever give them too much credit, but I'll give them some this time. Where they had a quote from Volkanovski who said when they called him, he had been drinking every day before the Makhachev fight. Like,
yeah.
I mean,
you got to worry about his mental state.
But I don't know. For me, I saw that quote as like, okay, you can feel better about him. Like, he wanted that rematch so bad, wasn't prepared for it in any way, shape, or form. He said yes. I have to think he's like doing a real training camp this time, right? Like, he's going to have the full. And when he's at a full training camp, who's looked like they could touch it? Nobody. And Topuria, he's got more power than a lot of the guys he's faced and whatnot. But I still. Spoiler alert for next week. I still like Volkanovski.
Yeah. We're also getting the cart in front of the horse here, but who wants to talk about this fight card for real?
I do. Yeah, it's, I like this fight card.
All right. Well, so there you go. That's why Gumby's the right man for the job. It seems people are betting based on narrative, it seems, for next week's main event. Like, they figure, that's fine. We'll take advantage of it. But yeah, if you dig into Topuria's resume, I'm not overly impressed by him. This is a massive step up in competition for him when Josh Emmett, an up and down Josh Emmett was your best win. But anyhow, like I said, next week we'll talk about that. We have to talk about Haider Amil instead this week. Okay.
I like Haider.
Somebody's gonna say, I like Haider Amil.
Why are you hating on these guys?
I'm not. I'm just joking around.
Hating on Daniel Marcos?
Yeah, I'm going to hate on – there's a bunch of undefeated people here, so I really shouldn't be hating on Haider Amil or Daniel Marcos.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hate on Devin Clark, the brown bear, because he's going to wrestle, he told Gumby. So, all right, so obviously we were talking about, obviously, what everyone is talking about, UFC Fight Night Hermansson versus Pfeiffer. Will Taylor Swift, will her jet make it to this fight event in time, you think, or not?
I don't think she's trying.
Really?
Yeah, it's wild, but I don't.
I put big money on her showing up, so I'm gonna lose there. A UFC Fight Night: Hermansson versus Pfeiffer. Can't even talk. I'm so excited about it. It is this February the 10th, which would be this Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern. There's a positive. Actually, any UFC Fight Night, I'm happy to watch. So I'm just joking around, but this quality of this one is not for the casuals, we'll say. So it starts 4 p.m. There's a positive, like I said. And it's got 14 bouts. We're going to do, 8 today? And I just wasted 10 minutes blabbing about nothing.
That's okay. You won't have much to say about most of these guys.
Some of them will be like, Gumby, who is this guy? I think I've seen him fight once and I already forgot. We lost, I'll run through quickly the fights that we have lost. A lot of them we have got replacements for, which we will go through. Haider Amil was supposed to fight Nurdambiki. That Nurdambiki withdrew. Haider Amil still on the fight card. Dan Ige, Lerone Murphy was going to be the co-main event. Lerone Murphy dropped out. Ige still there. Balaji Oki was supposed to fight Demira Hadzovic. Hadzovic just dropped out like, what, Tuesday?
Yeah, yesterday. Visa issues, yep, on his front.
Visa issues. Like, oh, that drives me nuts. Like, how do you not know until like a day before, 2 days before the fight or ever? Anyhow, another visa issue. Albert Duryev dropped out of his fight versus Robert Brzyk. Is it Brzyk?
I'm just nodding. Yeah, Brzyk.
I'm reading. Obviously, I can't see a nod. And then Haider Amil, actually, this is his third opponent he's going to have because he's supposed to fight Melsik Bagdasarian originally, and that with Bagdasarian withdrew from that. So everyone's scared. People are scared of Haider Amil, Dan. They're running from him, obviously.
Well, you shouldn't say that. Ryan H might be listening, and if you're hating on the Armenian guy who had to drop out, that's this is supposed to be a double Armenian card. This was all about him.
Yep. Now all his money's gonna have to go on the one Armenian that's left. All right, we'll talk about him tomorrow. And Ryan H is always listening, so I always have to watch my step here. DraftKings. Let's talk about DraftKings before I upset any more ethnicities out there. Looking for a super offer for Super Bowl 58. DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. New customers can bet on the big game and turn $5 into $200 instantly in bonus bets. Is there any lines there that you like, Gumby? I know nothing about football this year.
You know, I think they do a pretty good job of getting you all the props nice and early, which I believe I've said about their MMA stuff. Like, you get the totals way earlier than most sports books. So whether you're looking for totals for this weekend's UFC action, or if you're looking for props for the big game on Sunday, DraftKings is the place to do that.
Listen to that guy. He's perfect. He should be doing these ad reads, don't you think, people? Instead of me. Download the draft. It's I guess it's more fun watching me walk the tightrope, try to get through the ad read without screwing up too much. All right, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SGP. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 58 with code SGP. The crown is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY, which is 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Now on to Underdog Fantasy. Gumby and I, every day, Gumby and I have an Underdog Fantasy article on the site. I did the NBA ones for tonight's game, so you want to check that out. Underdog Fantasy doesn't just have that. They got everything. They also have a way for you to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long, whether it's NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, college football, MMA, tennis. They've got it all. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite players' fantasy stats and cash in. You can win 100 times with some spicy plays. Gumby, a play of any flavor?
Sure, yeah.
Each level?
Yeah. You hinted at it at the beginning. I spoke with Devin Clark on my podcast this week, and he talked about getting back to the basics of the stuff that he does the best, which is his wrestling, and just taking a peek at the projection inside the Underdog Fantasy app. And I'm seeing Devin Clark's takedowns higher or lower than 2.5. I would have to say, being that he's not a big finisher, I think we go higher than on his takedowns there.
And I think his average, career average, is right around there too, maybe a little less, but that's without
even the dedication.
So that's a good pick. Usually I throw some shade Gumby's way, but I approve of this pick. So watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. when you sign up with promo code MMASGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code MMASGPN. We should be keeping track of the stats on whether I'm right or wrong when I throw shade on your picks. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. There's a good chance I don't.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I think you got your finger on the NBA pulse. I think you're at least throwing well-informed something else.
Do I have my finger on the MMA pulse? That's the question, UFC pulse, because this year, Gumby and I, not doing so hot. Lucky we hit some dogs a couple weeks ago.
Speak for yourself. I've got some regional level stuff that has been
quite
spicy.
UFC, not so good, but yeah, regional has been keeping Gumby's family in their house. Hopefully you're still in your house. You're recording. It looks like you're recording in the same spot. So
yeah, it's the same
spot. All right, 14 bouts. Like I said, we're doing 8 of them today. I've talked well enough. So we'll just rip through the important part of the show and we'll just do the picks really quick. And then we'll do some ad reads and then we'll get out of here. Right. Sound good?
No, we're going to get in depth on people these bad boys.
People are here for the banter. They don't care what we think about Fernie Garcia. All right, let's kick things off. Bantamweights, the opener, the curtain jerker, the aforementioned Daniel Marcos. He's one of the upstart Peruvian fighters that are taking over the scene versus Ari Keelang from China. Actually, how many Chinese fighters won road to UFC this past weekend? Two?
Zia and Zhu Rong both did. So
he's going to have some countrymen in the UFC soon enough. So this is 3 5-minute rounds, 135 pounds. That rhymes. And we're going to tell you about Ari Keelang. All one word is how it's styled. Now, he's a Mongolian murderer, a perhaps problematic nickname that we've discussed before, and we were not really sure if he's murdering Mongolians or if he is a Mongolian and he's murdering people, but you should murder anyone regardless of where they're from. But he is a Mongolian murderer, 25-10, 7 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice, 3-3 in the UFC. He's gone 3-1 over his last 4, including winning his last fight. He used to fight down at flyweight and up at featherweight, was regional champion, more active landing strikes than Marcos. However, he has been outstruck in the UFC by 0.25 strikes per minute. I give the strike differential stats to you every episode. Let me tell you how the strike differential. All right. If a person has better strike differential than their opponent, 57% win rate. So a little better than flipping a coin. That's all we can ask for here. Ari Keelang plus 210. And it's true. We are firmly against murder, right? I went out on a limb there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gumby, yeah. We can make that a team ride.
All right. I didn't want to, step out of place and speak on behalf of Gumby. Okay. So that's Ari Keelang. Don't murder anyone. Marcos Sankora. I forgot to look up what that means, Gumby.
It's Sankora means. It's like the inverted portion of the word heart, and it's also where he's from.
Oh, okay, cool.
Corazon means heart. Right, and then he's also from Sankara, if I'm not mistaken.
Ah, very cool. He's 15-0 as well, with 8 knockouts, 2-0 in the UFC, 1-0 contender series, regional champion. He's got it all on his resume. He has outstruck his UFC and contender series opponents by 1.18 strikes per minute. He used to fight at, actually, this is a bantamweight. Was he scheduled for a featherweight fight last time or a flyweight fight? Remember?
I don't think ever flyweight. I don't think he'd make it down to flyweight.
Yeah, maybe it was flyweight.
I think he was scheduled for catchweight with Carlos Vera when that fight got canceled. Right.
Yeah, so because the stuff I'm going off is when fights get canceled, I actually save all the info I've already done in my spreadsheet. So I'm going off of his last when his last fight got canceled. All right, grappling stats better than Ari Keelang's -250. Gumby, are we going with a big favorite to kick things off?
I'm going to go with a big favorite out the door. I think I've been a big fan of Daniel Marcos all the way back from Contender Series. He fought Brandon, let's go, Lewis. Remember that guy?
Oh, let's go. Yeah, let's go, Brandon. Yep.
No, it was how Brandon. Let's go. You said Brandon, let's yeah. go, Lewis, is the way you announced him, which is my favorite slaughtering of that nickname.
I'm Canadian, Gumby. We don't have let's go, Brandon, up here.
You just have Brandon, let's
we
go.
We just have Trudeau stuff.
But anyway, back when he fought Brandon Lewis, he was a pretty sizable underdog in that fight. And I love all of the same things about him in this fight as I did in that one. And it's the pace and the striking. I mean, he's a very sharp striker. Sure. Could he have possibly lost that fight with Davy Grant and kind of got gifted one? Maybe. But really the only thing I didn't like about that fight was there was just like a little bit of a lack of aggression at moments where he should have it. He even recognized afterwards, you know, I heard some interviews and some post-fight interviews where he said he thought his aggression ticked down a little bit. And I think Aori brings a pressure anyway, so that's going to be there. And then I think also the cardio advantage is there in Marcos. I think the striking advantage is in Marcos. I don't even really think Aori can take him down. I mean, Brandon Lewis didn't. And, like, I actually do think pretty high of Brandon Lewis's wrestling. Like, if you watch him on the regional scene, it might be better than some guys in the UFC. Obviously, his striking is far worse, as we saw in the Marcos fight. But I think Marcos can stuff the takedowns here if they should come and should have no problem winning on the feet here.
Yeah, Keelang has been doing better as of late. Actually, he's looked pretty good as of late. But yeah, I'm gonna have to go with the favorite here.
And not a. It's also worth noting he doesn't have a good strength of schedule. Anytime he's fought anybody decent, he's lost. Right, like Ivan Zahabi, Cody Durden, Jeff Molina. Those are his losses. His wins: Cameron Els, not in the UFC anymore. Jay Perrin, not in the UFC anymore. Johnny Munoz, is he not in the UFC anymore? I feel like he's not in the UFC anymore. But like Johnny Munoz might be his best win. I don't know that I'm writing home about that resume on Aori.
Yeah. I said he looked better. I didn't say he was amazing or anything. Like that, right? let's not get it twisted, but yeah. Marcos, you think he's got a future in this year's sport, this guy?
I think there are things he has to work on. Like, I would love to see him pick up that aggression. You know, in his UFC debut, he picked up that finish with the knees to the body. I think if we saw that kind of like aggressive version of him combined with his pace, he'd be really good and be really dangerous. He starts weaponizing that cardio a little bit. I think there's room to grow. And bantamweight, obviously, super tough division to crack into. But, I mean, so far, the only issue we've seen from him at any point in time is just that, like, he took his foot off the gas a little bit. So, yeah, I like Marcos.
All right. Peru, rise up. All right, where are we going to next? We're sticking with the lower weight classes, right? Yes, we're going up weight class, featherweight. Hyder Emil versus Fernie Garcia, 3 5-minute rounds. America versus Mexico. Yes, Mexico for Garcia. Okay.
Isn't Fernie Garcia from the U.S.?
He's got a Mexican flag beside his name, but perhaps he's Mexican-American. Does that sound okay. right?
Yeah, that could be possible. Yeah, it looks like he was born in El Paso. Texas, but right. Yeah, he's of Mexican right. descent.
Yeah, well, Tapology is labeled as Mexican, but yes, Texas, you know, close enough, right? El Paso border.
I believe that's close, although I can't actually give you any geographical info on that.
Wow, look at you. Hopefully, you're not a geography teacher in your other life, Gumby. All right, let's tell you about Garcia first. 10-4 for Garcia. 1 knockout, 3 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. He owes us some finishes. This is a short notice fight for him. You know what that means. Let's take a peek at the stats. They haven't really changed, I don't think. Late replacement, still only win 36% of the time. 33% this year, so even worse. 0-3 in the UFC. It's part of a 3-fight losing streak, obviously. Before that, he won 5 straight. So he was doing pretty good until he hit this UFC thing. 1-0 in Contender Series. Used to fight at bantamweight. 2 years younger than Emil. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.89 strikes per minute, plus 165. Emil, the Hurricane, 8-0, 4 knockouts, 1 submission. This is his UFC debut, 1-0 in Contender Series. How do you like him coming off Contender Series without giving away your pick and everything?
There were things I liked about him, but there were questions I had too.
Okay. He is 3-0 in Bellator, so he's been fighting, I want to say, high level. Is that a high level, Gumby?
depends on who in Bellator, to be honest.
Yeah, it's true. What else can I tell you about? 2 inches taller than Garcia, 3 inches of reach, better striking stats. He has outstruck his contender series opponent by 0.26 strikes per minute, minus 175. Give me the undefeated fighter, obviously, undefeated favorite fighter against the guy who's not looked good in the UFC, to say the least. Not only has he not looked good, but now he's fighting on short notice, so even worse. So Emil is a pretty obvious pick here for me.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Haider Emil, too. I will say, I think the thing I liked best on him coming off of Contender Series was he just put an insane pace on. And I hate to, you know, like make pace my two big plays right out of the gate here, but like Haider Emil has, like, you know, he trains with he's an El Nino training center guy. So he's coming from working with the Diaz brothers and whatnot. And he's got that kind of style, that pace and that pressure and that, like, going to be in your face and this is going to be the worst part of your game. He stuffed 18 of 23 takedown attempts from Enra Somnez and had just about the same amount of control time as Enra, which means he's reversing the positions and winding up on top. And like, he just looked really good doing that. My only slight hesitation in picking him, and probably why this line is coming down a little bit, is Fernie Garcia has largely been beat by wrestlers, right? If you go ahead and look at his record, you know, like all the people who are beating him, you know, Brady Hestand did it with some wrestling, and was it Rinya? Rinya got him as well with the wrestling. I think, you know, like him, he probably has a wrestling advantage over Haider Emil here, but I just don't know that he can maintain it for 15 minutes and pick up a victory. So I'm going to go with Emil too. I think the short notice thing, while also being up against the guy with the exceptional cardio, bad news.
Yeah, definitely, definitely, definitely. All right, I'm going to tell you some things that aren't bad news as I transition to another ad read Super Bowl prop contest. That's something that's there it is right in your screen on YouTube. Super Bowl 58 props contest run by us, the SGPN or the SGP network, if you rather. $1,000 winner take all, right out of Gumby's pay, perhaps. I'm not sure. I haven't asked the bosses if it's coming out of Gumby's pay. Hopefully it is. Gumby's got enough money, apparently. He's got so many hats. All his money goes to hats, though. So free to enter this contest. Pick 58 props for Super Bowl 58. I'm sure Taylor Swift is involved. Have you checked the prop contest, Gumby? Is Taylor Swift involved in any of these props?
He's got it. She's got it. I haven't, but she's got to be in at least 10 of them.
Is anyone in your household into Taylor Swift?
No.
Same with here. Perfect. All right. Pick 58 props for Super Bowl 58. I already told you that. You can enter today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/SB58 or the link in the SGPN app. We're also brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. Bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes and tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower vig and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things so you never have to chase anyone down for money. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. The rewards are you get cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. Cut also allows you to list almost any kind of bet, perfect for getting action on those fun Super Bowl prop bets. Cut is the peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And with all the money you're going to win there, you can go over to Game Time and get yourself some last-minute tickets. You won't have to spend too much either, because Game Time is, they take the stress out of last-minute ticket buying for you. Game Time is the place for last-minute ticket deals, and they are the fastest-growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. You can get images of your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. You buy tickets in a matter of seconds. Two taps, and you're set. Tickets are sent directly to your phone, so you never have to dig through your email. You can snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CFBX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CFBX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. All right, we are linking up on our picks thus far. I forgot to ask you, thoughts on the prelims, on the handicapping portion of the prelims?
Pretty good. I thought the lines were all pretty much where I expected, with one or two exceptions. Those ones surprised me heavily. So,
all right. Well, you haven't been surprised heavily yet, though, right? Two are kind of cut and dry. Yeah.
Not yet. All right. Maybe one coming up.
Oh, light heavyweights coming up. Zach Pounga. What did your co-host call him? It wasn't Pounga, but versus Bogdan.
Puanga.
I don't know if you put the N in there either. That's the thing.
I think the N was in there, but it was the U and the A were weirdly mixed up.
Funny. I shouldn't make fun because I was going to say even worse, but I'm pretty bad myself. Bogdan Guskov. We haven't had our pronunciation talk yet on this episode, so I didn't want to deprive our listeners and our viewers of it. All right, I'm going to tell you about Guskov first. Zarevich. Do you know what that means?
I do not.
Or what a Zarevich is? It's the heir to the Tsar, a Russian Tsar. So that's what Guskov is. I don't know if he really is that, but that's his nickname. He's 14-3, 12 knockouts, 2 submissions. So he's finished everyone, and he's been stopped once by knockout, once by submission. So he owes his rounds, damn it. 0-1 the UFC. I don't remember his first. Oh, yeah, I do remember his first fight. It was a mauling against Volkan Ozdemir, correct?
That's right.
Look at you. Right. Yeah. I also listen to the Top Turtle podcast, so I know these things. He's got 4-1 over his last 5, but he did get submitted in his last fight by that known grappler, Volkan Ozdemir. And he got struck in that fight, but almost 5 strikes per minute, minus 4.78. So not an auspicious beginning for a heir to a Russian Tsar, plus 115. Paunga, the high chief, 6-2 with 1 knockout. He's been knocked out once, 1-2 in the UFC, loss, win, loss over his last 3, 2-0 on Ultimate Fighter, and the loss in the finals to noted UFC prospect, Muhammad Usman, right?
Yeah.
giggle. Used to fight at heavyweight. That was at heavyweight. Better striking stats than Guskov, more than twice more active landing strikes, but and better striking stats, but Guskov's based off his 1 mauling in the UFC, which I believe was short notice as well. And Paunga has outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.72 strikes per minute. He's at minus 125. So kind of close line here for a fight that I think we're going to agree on our winner here. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is the one I was shocked at. Like I mostly had the same exact lines that everyone that I looked at, with a couple of small exceptions, or I expected at least things to be roughly in the right range. I expected this to be negative 300 for Paunga, because you've got a guy in Guskov who, to your point, he did lose to Volkan Ozdemir. So maybe we write off the fact that he lost to him. But you can't overlook how he lost to him, which is that he got absolutely mauled on the mat by Volkan Ozdemir, who isn't particularly skilled on the mat. Like, he's a boxer. He's known as no time because he just loves to try to knock people out as fast as possible. And in that fight, he was like, well, I'll just take him down, and did so very effortlessly. And now he's going to be up against Zach Paunga, who comes from a wrestling background and trains all the time with Chris Curtis. Like, I mean, that's the most layup-esque matchup that they could give Zach Paunga. And yeah, like, Guskov can box a little bit. I think I remember breaking him down in that Ozdemir fight as being like, I don't know, he's kind of a fun prospect when it comes to boxing. But if that's how he's going to defend takedowns, like, Paunga is just going to put this dude on the mat right away. So yeah, give me Paunga all day here at negative 125.
Yeah, I want to see Paunga get some wins here. Kind of a decent prospect, but things haven't really worked out for him in the UFC thus far. But yeah, he's my pick too. And this will be my lock of the week. We'll have to wait and see. I don't plan these things in advance, but that's a pretty good line. All right. We're going down to welterweights. Jeremiah Wells from Gumby's favorite fight camp, right?
I do love Daniel Gracie that. Yeah.
Daniel Gracie Jiu-Jitsu versus Max Payne Griffin, who was on Gumby's podcast last week. Very good interview. Always the entrepreneur, right?
That's right. Selling hot sauce.
Even though hot sauce isn't really that unique of a product, but nonetheless, I'm a fan of hot sauce, so that's fine by me. All right. We're going to break down this one first by telling you about Griffin. Max Payne Griffin, 19-10, 9 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, so very durable. 7-8 in the UFC, 1-2 over his last 3, 4-2 over his last 6. I'm sure he prefers me to say that part. Did lose his last fight. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store, or get this Gumby shirt I'm wearing right now.
Or this sweatshirt.
Or the SGPN hoodie, or my SGP hat. Gumby and I would be naked on this podcast if it wasn't for SGP. It's almost Tuesday Night Miracle season again. Half a year.
Whoa, to go. Six months.
6 months to go, Gumby. We can make it. All right. Back to Mr. Griffin. Used to fight at middleweight, 2009 pro MMA debut. 2 inches height, 2 inches of reach over Wells. Better striking stats, more active landing strikes. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.15 strikes per minute. He's at plus 142. Jeremiah Wells, 12-3-1, 5 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been submitted once. 4-1 in the UFC. Did lose by submission in his last fight. He also has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Sure. SportsGamingPodcast.com/store. What else? 2012, pro MMA debut. Better grappling stats than Griffin. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.38 strikes per minute. Minus 162. Gumby, I'm going to go out on a limb here and take my first dog. I'm taking Max Payne Griffin. Jeremiah Wells, that last fight was very ugly. Did not look good. I think Wells is the type of gritty dog who can Griffin is the type of gritty dog who can take it to Wells. Maybe get that gas tank in trouble again. Hopefully he can keep it on the feet. That's the key here. But I'm going with Griffin.
Hopefully he can keep it on the feet. Do you really feel... I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, it would be worse for him on the mat, probably.
Yes, that's what I mean.
But I don't think it would be good for him on the feet, too. Like, Jeremiah Wells is a dude who... I mean, he slept Court McGee, who had a great chin up until he fought Jeremiah Wells. It changed his life.
Taking Jeremiah Wells, everybody. Yeah,
I'm taking Jeremiah Wells here.
You were about to say, of course.
I think, of course. I like Max Griffin, you know, to your point. I really like him too, but the age thing worries me, right? Like, he's getting up there in age. He's taken some mileage. He's going to be fighting a dude who throws absolute bombs. And on top of all that, has a wrestling advantage. It's hard for me to look at Max Griffin and really like him in this spot when I know all those things about Wells. And yes, Wells did get caught with a submission at the end of that, but he was up 2-0. If he just like toughed it out and didn't go out against Carlston Harris, who's a bad dude too, I mean, he would have won that fight. So I like Wells here. I think he survives any kind of striking that Max Griffin throws his way, and I think he knocks him out probably.
And they're the same age, by the way, but yeah, more wear on the tires.
What about about the mileage? It's not the same. Yes.
No, definitely not the same. I'm still, I can't believe you're turning on, someone that was on your show, but, anyhow, I'm taking
done it before.
You have done it before. It's true. Oh, next person we're going to talk about was on Gummy's show too. But first I'm going to tell you about Hall of Fame bets. I'm throwing a curveball. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea in our Hall of Fame Bets revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as the expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets. Craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com. That's hofbets.com. And use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. All right, let's get moving now. We're going up to light heavyweights. Devin Brown Bear Clark was on Gummy's podcast. This is this week's podcast. So listen to the Top Turtle MMA podcast. He's fighting Marcin Prochnio. Never has been on your podcast, I don't believe.
I don't think so. No.
No. All right, we'll tell you about Prochnio first. 16-7, 11 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted once. 3-5 in the UFC, 1-2 over his last 3, 3-2 over his last 5. Got submitted in his last fight. He's fought at middleweight and heavyweight, was regional champion. 2013 pro MMA debut, 3 inches taller than Clark, better striking stats, more active landing strikes. And despite his poor record, he's outstruck his UFC opponents. Striking hasn't been the issue here. He's at plus 2.14. Plus 185 is the number. Brown Bear Clark, 14-8, 4 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted 4 times. Not very durable there. 8-8 in the UFC, win-loss. He lost via submission in his last fight. He's fight up at heavyweight and down to middleweight, just like Prochnio. Was regional champion, just like Prochnio. 2013 debut, just like Prochnio. It's a Spider-Man meme going on here. 1 inch of reach, 2 years younger than Prochnio. He's barely outstruck his UFC opponents. He's at plus 0.04. Better grappling stats than Prochnio, minus 200. So who you got in this probably loser leaves town match, or perhaps loser leaves town match?
I don't know. The UFC seems to really love Devin Clark. And I don't think he's
not, though.
Yeah.
He's a big friendly brown bear.
I don't think he's going to have to worry about it, because I'm going to go with Devin Clark here. The striking of Prochnio, if you watch, like, he is tough in terms of like power, right? Like, he does put people away. But, you know, like a lot of that boxing, it's kind of sloppy. He kind of reaches for it. He kind of puts himself off balance. And, you know, like, I don't want to put too much into what fighters say during fight week or during fight week interviews, because, you know, like, sometimes, you know, they're right on with what they say about game planning. And sometimes they're just maybe trying to throw people for a loop. But in terms of what Devin Clark said, it's like, I know I got to get back to what I do best. And what I do best is wrestle. If the guy punches himself off balance all the time, that's the perfect recipe to get back to the wrestling. And, you know, we said it on the Underdog ad earlier in the show. You know, I think he's going to rack up the takedowns here against Procneo. I think he's going to keep him down. He's a guy who wins a lot of fights by decision. You know, you mentioned he's not much of a finisher. I think Procneo looked a little bit worn in that last fight. So I think there's a good chance that Clark's wrestling gets to him too and just allows him to, you know, hit as many takedowns as he wants. So I'm going to go favorite again here, which I know I've been doing a lot, but I'm going to take Devin Clark.
Yeah, I am as well. Yeah, like I said, getting out struck hasn't been the problem for Procneo. It's been the grappling. And if Clark, like, fighters say a lot of things heading into fights, so I just hope he actually does what he told Gumby he was going to do and lead into the wrestling. But even if he doesn't, if he fights like he has in the past, he should still win this fight.
Yeah, I actually think that's a good point. Like, I actually think his boxing, when he's not overextending himself and he's just staying smart, like, I think he could beat Procneo that way too.
Yeah. But I'm just saying he always did wrestle a little bit. So even if he doesn't increase the wrestling, he could, you know, he should have enough to win this fight. All right, moving on. Is this the best fight of the prelims? The one we're going to break down next? The one you're looking forward to the most?
Depends on what you're talking about. If you were talking women's about strawweight. Yeah, no, I meant like, okay, if, how you determine the best, like closest to being most likely to be in a title shot one day, this might be it. Or like, if you're talking about most pure skill, I don't even know if I would pick this one.
Okay.
If you're talking about most closely matched, I'd pick this one.
All right. Let's break it down. This one would be women's strawweight fight. Luma Lukbunmi is the name she's going by. Now I'll go through all her names in a second. She's from Thailand. She's fighting Bruna Brazil from Brazil. Go figure, right? Is her last name really Brazil?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I've got to tell you, Procneo's from, I was telling everyone countries, Procneo's from Poland in the other fight that we did, in case people are keeping track or you bet based on where people fighters are from, which I know some people do. All right. Or if their last name ends in Ov. All right. We're going to tell you about Bruna Brazil first. She is the special one because she's talked to Gumby Vreeland multiple times. That makes anyone special, right?
That's right.
Exactly. The special one is 9-3-1, 3 knockouts, 2 submissions. She's been knocked out 3 times, so she's been finishing all of her losses. So she owes us rounds, that means, if she's going to lose at least. 1-1 in the UFC, 8-1 over her last 9, including winning her last fight. 1-0 Contender Series, 2014 Pro MMA debut. 5 inches height, 4 inches reach on Lukbunmi. She's been outstruck over her UFC and Contender Series career by 0.5 strike per minute, plus 225. Lukbunmi, Kanda Poor Moing Pech, Kanda Kokit Jim, Loma Sitjau, or her real name, Sufasara Konlak. That's all the different names. Now she's Luma Lukbunmi. The ties are amazing with the names they go by, right?
I was on a roller coaster of syllables with you.
I know. I did pretty good, I think, too.
I don't have any idea if you did or not, but I'm sure some. Yeah,
maybe one of our
know.
Thai listeners or viewers will let me know regardless. All right, Lukbunmi is 8-3, 1 knockout, 1 submission. She's been submitted once. She owes us finishes. 5-2 in the UFC. She won 2 straight and 4-5, winning her last fight via submission. 2-0 in Invicta. Used to fight at Atomweight. It's probably where she should fight if the UFC had Atomweight, if they listen to our show and give us an Atomweight class. She's a multiple-time world a champion in Muay Thai. 3 years younger than Brazil, more active landing strikes, better grappling stats. She's outstruck her UFC opponents by 1.56 strikes per minute, minus 260. Despite all of that, that nice resume, I'm taking Bruna Brazil. I'm back on the Bruna Brazil train here. Obviously, she's going to tower over Lukbunmi, and she's got the reach on her. And despite Lukbunmi being, you know, Muay Thai champ and all that stuff, I think Brazil is going to be better than her on the feet. Definitely more dangerous on the feet. So I'm taking a big dog, plus 225.
So I'm going to go Bruna Brazil too. I'm in honor with you. I think, you know, to a slight counterpoint to you, I don't know necessarily that Bruna Brazil is a better striker than Loma Lukbunmi, but weight classes matter. They really do. And Loma Lukbunmi is an atomweight. Call her what you want to call her, but she's an atomweight. She could make atomweight tomorrow if she needed to. And the unfortunate thing about Loma Lukbume is she kind of has a ceiling because the thing she's the best at is fighting in the clinch between foot sweeps and, you know, throwing knees in the clinch and that kind of thing. That's always what she's been best at. And when you're an atomweight and you're giving up size to every single person you fight, you start the fight with a marked disadvantage. Now let's add to the fact that Bruna Brazil is an absolute monster for strawweight. She doesn't look like she belongs at strawweight. She looks like a flyweight or bigger. And she's exceptionally strong in the clinch. Like when you get her in the clinch, she's physically strong and dominates those positions. And so like, even if Loma Lukbume does have a technique advantage a little bit here and there, I think the physicality advantage is just something you can't overlook in this fight at all. Like I think Bruna Brazil is just too strong for us to look the other way and say, I don't think she can do this against Loma Lukbume. And the fact that I had this as the closest fight on the fight card, and I do mean that top to bottom, I think this is the closest matched fight because of the skill and the size and all those types of things. To see a number 250 or 225?
225, yeah.
Yeah, next to Bruna Brazil. That's insane. That's insane value on Bruna Brazil's size. I like her a lot here.
Yep. There you go. Bruna Brazil is the pick. We are both in on that. I had a feeling got me. Well, I knew. I listened to your other podcast, but I was picking Bruna Brazil regardless. It made me feel better that you were in on it as well. So we both can go down in flames together, Gumby. All right, two fights left. Timothy Kwamba, who was not on this fight card as of yesterday. He is now. Versus Balaji Oki Kwamba from the United States of America. Oki from Belgium. All right, I can tell you about Kwamba first, who we have spoken of before. His nickname is Twilight. Is he team? How did I forget their names? Team. I can't remember the Twilight people's names. Gummy, help me out here. Do you remember?
No.
Come on. You're not a Twilight fan. No. I'm not either, but still. You'll remember when there was team Edward or team the other guy. I can't remember the other guy's name.
Walter.
Jacob.
Right? Oh,
team Edward or team Jacob. That was the name.
Not Walter.
not Walter. Walter's a good vampire name though. Don't you think? Yeah.
I think this episode is now called Team Walter.
Team Walter is the name of the episode, Gumby, because I had a name before, but I forgot to type it down. So this is even better.
Team Walter.
All right. We're going to be team. We'll see what team round. We're going to talk. I was talking about Kwamba first. Twilight is a nickname. 8-1 with 4 knockouts. He's been submitted one time. This is a short notice UFC debut. So you know what I think about that. We have spoken about him before because he has fought on the Contender Series before. Won no Contender Series. He's won 5 straight fights, won via TKO in his last fight. Has not lost since October 2021. Used to fight at featherweight, 4 years younger than Oki. He got outstruck in the UFC Contender Series by 1.6 strikes per minute. Better grappling stats than Oki based off of their very small resumes in the UFC octagon. I don't have numbers for him, Gumby. Do you have numbers? People in the Discord have been talking about numbers.
Yeah. You go ahead and start on Oki, and I'll get you the most current looks.
Oki, the Zulu Warrior, 8-1, 5 knockouts, 1 submission. Never been finished in a fight. This is his UFC debut as well, but he was already planning on being on this card, so this isn't a short notice for him. 1-0 Contender Series, 8 straight wins, has not lost since March of 2018. Was regional champion. He outstruck his Contender Series opponent by 7.23 strikes per minute. He's got inch height, 2 inches of reach on Kwamba, better striking stats, and 4 times more active landing strikes based on their small resumes. Gumby, do you have some? Did the intern send you odds for this?
Yeah, the odds I'm seeing right now: Balaji Oki -235, Timothy Kwamba +200.
All right, -235, +200. All right, Gumby, break it down. Didn't Kwamba start as a favorite? People were saying.
Yeah, they said Oki came in +110, I think, when it first posted on some of those like smaller offshore books and stuff like that. And clearly the money's coming in on Oki. I think probably because of, you know, he won on the Contender Series with a very vicious knockout. I think you might remember, I think it was a knee to the body. And he just, you know, looked like a violence monster. And, you know, the short notice thing, I think a lot of people are in on the same kick as that you love and cherish so much. I'm going Kwamba.
Cherish.
You're going Kwamba.
Really?
I'm going Kwamba. I think, listen, watch his fight with Matteo Vogel on Contender Series. Go back and watch it. If you don't trust me on this pick right now, just go watch him. His striking is so smooth in the beginning of that fight. The way he moves out of range and picks people apart And also, we've seen Matteo Vogel show up in other fights since then, right? Like, he's been on, he was on Dana White's Looking for a Fight, and I'm positive Dana White saw him and was like, man, we got to give that guy a second chance. Matteo Vogel is a high-level dude. And Timothy Komba stuffed all of his takedowns early very easily as an underdog and then just picked him apart on the feet. Now, the fight didn't go as smooth as it went on, but also Balaji Akia is a guy who starts hot. And is, if you watch his fight, by the way, you can watch him on the same episode of the Contender Series because they were on it. One was the first fight. One was the third fight. Balaji does not look smooth on the feet. Is he powerful? Yeah, he's powerful. I don't know that he will catch and tag Komba, though, because Komba is smooth and he's got great defense. He rips to the body really well, too, which I think could be a problem for Oki late in the fight if it goes that late. Like, watch the way this dude moves out of range and then look at him. Like, he's a great person to fight a counterpuncher, a big, heavy-punching counterpuncher like Oki. So I'm going to go with Komba here. I think he picks him apart.
All right. I'm still taking Oki because... got to trust my stats. If I don't trust my stats, who's going to trust them? So
not me.
So they'll keep Gumby's not trust them, obviously, but no, it's good. Gumby is taking a stab on a dog. So that is good. We differed on a couple fights here. Well, we still have the main event of the prelims to go. Who knows? Maybe we'll differ here. I have a feeling we're not going to though. This would be a welterweight fight. Trevin Giles.
Should you tell us about something first? I don't mean to tell you how to do your job, but
I already did the ad reads. Are you talking about ad reads? I already did the ad reads.
I mean, I can cut this
out. Did I miss one?
I think just scroll down for me all the way to the bottom.
Bottom of what?
The
ad reads? Yeah. Hall of Fame bets. I already did Hall of Fame bets.
I don't believe that you did.
I did. You ran away and did the blinds when I.
Oh, that's right. Bets. Okay. You How ran them all. Dare you? All right. Okay.
How dare you?
Sorry, Hall of Fame.
That's another professionalism.
Another shout out to Hall of Fame. Bets. I was fixing the blinds. It's good that you noticed. It's no longer light in my background.
Yeah.
Anyway, tell us about the main event of the
prelims. The main event of prelims is it's a very exciting welterweight fight. You're gonna be Trevin Giles versus Carlos Praches. U.S. versus Brazil. We'll let you guys decide which one's which. We'll tell you about Giles first. He is the problem. 16-5, 6 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 3 times. 7-5 in the UFC, 2-1 over his last 3, 2-3 over his last 5. Lost via submission in his last fight. He's fight at middleweight and light heavyweight. 2014 pro MMA debut, plus 0.88. It's a strike differential, so he's in the positive there. Over a very large sample size, too. Better grappling stats than Praches, plus 210. Praches, the nightmare. The problem versus the nightmare. This is a pretty good matchup there of nicknames. 17-6, 12 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 3 times. He owes us rounds. Yes, by my math, rounds. UFC debut is this Saturday. 1-0 in Contender Series. He won 7 series fights, 6 straight via finish. June 2019 was his last loss. Was regional champion. He's fed at middleweight. 2012 pro MMA debut. 2-0 in kickboxing and a champion there. 0-1 in Muay Thai. Inch height, 4 inches of reach. 1 year younger than Giles. More active landing strikes than Giles based off his little sample size here. He outstruck his Contender Series opponent by 1.12 strikes per minute, minus 250. It would be a problem if I picked Giles. That's what the problem would be. I'm accepting the nightmare, Carlos Praches, as my pick. One of Gumby's favorite fighters off of Contender Series. I'm stealing his thunder here. Go ahead. Tell the people why.
Yeah, I love Carlos Praches for a lot of reasons. The first one being his win on the Contender Series. You know, I mentioned before, Timothy Komba looking good against Matteo Vogel holds a lot of weight in my book because Matthew Vogel is such a good prospect. Praches beat Mitch Ramirez, who is also, you know, a pretty damn good prospect too, who looked, you know, big pressure guy, great striker. And Praches tore him apart. Praches is one of those guys who, like, is he bigger than Giles? I missed what you said there. Like, if he's
let me see.
If he's not bigger, he feels so much.
Praches has got inch height, 4 inches of reach.
And he feels so much longer. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's what it feels like. Okay, yeah. That he just feels so much longer. And I don't know what Giles's path to victory is here because I don't think he'll get in on a takedown. I think he's going to get badly outboxed. I think Praches is a knockout threat against just about anybody at welterweight. I'm telling you this right now. I think we're going to be talking about Carlos Praches in the top 15 come 6 months from now. I think if we give this guy the right kind of fight, we put him on the, Jack Della Maddalena trajectory, and I'm not saying they have the same ceiling, but you put him on the Jack Della Maddalena trajectory where he's going to fight a Randy Brown and a Max Griffin en route to a, what is it, Jeff Neal or a Neil Magny. Like, if you put him on that kind of trajectory, I think he's going to pass all of those tests on the way up. I think this kid's special. I think people are going to be talking about Carlos Prachase, if not 6 months from now. When we talk about him at the beginning of next year, he's going to be a spoiler at welterweight.
You call people kids a lot, just like Dana White, which is fun. Well. this kid, you've never said this kid, the kid doesn't want to fight. That's something you should say.
No, these kids want to fight.
Yeah. You gave another good title there, even though we have one, Team Walter, obviously. You said the Jack Della Maddalena
trajectory.
That would have been a good title too, or a good name for an indie band. If someone wants to start an indie band,
that's a punk rock band, I think. Yeah.
Or a punk rock band. Sure. I'll accept that as well. All right. Let's recap and get this silly episode out of the way. So we can clear the deck for tomorrow's episode. Carlos Prachase is both in on, I'm in on Oki. He's in on Kwamba, both in on Brazil, both in on Clark. I like Griffin. He likes Wells. So we've differed on two fights. We both have the same amount of dogs, both have Paunga, both have Emil, both have Marcos, and we both have the same amount of dogs in real life too, Gumby. So there you go. Everything is lining up perfectly.
Yeah. And it's all the numbers are two.
Yep. All right. Exactly. It's our lucky number. Apparently this episode. All right. We're going to be back tomorrow. Like this, as I said, main card. If you didn't think today's episode was fun enough, tomorrow's will be even funner. Six fights, props, locks, dogs, parlays, all that fun stuff. In the meantime and in between time and at all times, someone is in the Discord. Usually Gumby and I are there as well at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Twitter, X, still hanging on, still alive. We're at SGP and MMA. Gumby runs that for us very ably. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer there and on Instagram. Check out my Substack. You can subscribe for free and enter my weekly UFC pick'em contest. That's moneymma.substack.com. Win yourself $50 gift card anywhere you want this week. Gumby's got Top Turtle MMA, which we've given way too much publicity for, but it's a good show, so I don't mind. This week he has got a brown bear on it. You may know as Devin Clark, and I'm trying to think who the other interview was.
Oh, come on. He's a legend of our Discord.
Legend of our. Oh, yes. And Antoine Ho, which it's better when you say his name, like his first name's Antoine, all one word. That's much more fun. But yes, Antoine Ho was on the show too, as well. Lots of talk of him in our Discord. He's an LFA fighter who will be fighting this weekend. We just did an episode involving him. So go back if you haven't already listened to that. And obviously sportsgamblingpodcast.com is the place to go for all our writings, and sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon so we can crush corporate gambling. All right. We're going to be back tomorrow. It'll be me, Loma Sit Jau, Jeff Fox, and the special one, Gumby Vreeland, will be with me as well. Remember, Team Walter. Let's go.